Well, been a great afternoon, and hopefully we can share some encouragement this evening. I was speaking this morning and mentioned that tonight I would talk about perplexity to peace. Now, the doubt that Habakkuk had, I was given some information that I really appreciated this morning, by the way. A fellow that's a little bit better at English than I am spoke to me at the back, and he said, there's only a few exceptions to the rule, but most of the time when there's a three-syllable name, the emphasis is on the first syllable. So that means we have been doing it right for all those years. It's Habakkuk. So if you put the emphasis there, it works out well. And I'm glad to know that, because it's been really hard to get used to saying Habakkuk. Sounds more like a sick Scotsman that's trying to say something and getting it caught. Anyway, this morning, in his doubt, he was doubting why. What's going on with God? What purpose can there be in using a people that are more wicked to deal with his own people? I mean, he wasn't wicked, really, was he? Well, you know, he had a heart of faith. But God was reminding him when he gave one of his answers in chapter 2 that the heart of faith was what was important. The just one shall live by faith. So Habakkuk had a reminder. And when that reminder hit him, it changed a lot of things for him. So he was perplexing in his own situation about the whole aspect of what the people were doing. How could Judah, the tribe that God gave the glory to, how could they be the ones that would drift back into idolatry? Josiah did such a great job, God. Why? How? What's going on? Why is this happening? Perplexity. He had questions. You ever have that? I know I have. I've gone to my quiet place where I used to tell people I would lay on my back in the middle of the park at the bottom of our street. We lived on a dead-end street. And I'd look up and I'd have my arguments with God. Just about the way Habakkuk did. I didn't realize that because I hadn't read Habakkuk yet. But I learned a lot of lessons when I was going through Habakkuk. You see, our minds are finite. So when you try to put a mind that's confined by time into the personality of God, who is eternal, it doesn't fit. It's impossible. It's impossible for us to imagine that there is no such thing as time, because everything about us is measured by time. Not one thing that we do is not measured by time. When we get up in the morning, when we go to bed at night. Oh, what time is it? Oh, it's almost bedtime. If I try to stay up later, I fall asleep trying to watch the evening news. So I know it's bedtime. Time. Not just bed. Bed. Time. You see, we're totally constricted by what's happening. If I ask a young child, how old are you? I'm 5. If I ask a teenager, how old are you? I'm 13, but I really want to be 20. Because then I'll be able to do all the things I want to do. Time. When you get to our age, whew, still going, 68, but I'm still here. You know, like, time. Time. Well, we see a finite end. Moses saw it. He said, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. He had the right idea about time. But when Habakkuk looked out and he saw the people, he couldn't get a grasp of why there was such a difference between one generation and another. You know, we find that in generations of believers. If you look at the scriptures in the account of Joshua, when he counseled the people to make the choice, are you going to follow God or are you going to go your own way? You have the choice. If you follow God, he will honor you. If you make the choice to follow after other gods and after the people of the land in which God has brought you, it will bring demise. God will not honor that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And all the people, with one accord, said, we will serve the Lord. And then these wonderful words are written for us in the book of Judges in the first chapter. All of the elders and all of the people who outlived Joshua, that means they were still living, followed the Lord to the third generation. And then something happened. At the end of the third generation, they fell apart. So what happened? That's why Habakkuk was perplexed. Why is this happening? Why does it keep happening? Well, I think the answer could be found in Deuteronomy, where God says to the people, when you get up in the morning, you talk about me. When you walk in the way, you talk about my commands. When you sit down to eat your meals, you talk about my commands and you talk about me. When you go to lay on your bed at night with your putting your children to bed, you talk about me. When it comes to memories, you remember what I have done. You talk about me. He had the right idea. That was God's idea. You see, he's on the eternal plane. And the way to keep eternity in our minds is to keep God in our mind. And Habakkuk, he was comfortable with that idea. And God reminded him that it was faith that was needed. But with bitterness of heart, he saw that this was going the wrong way. And he was very perplexed about how God was dealing with it. What he really, really needed was peace, some kind of understanding. What's going on, God? Please help me out here. So then when God gives him the second answer and tells him in verse 20 of chapter 2, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. I kind of get this like, oh, will you stop your complaining and pay attention to me? Those of you who are parents probably have said something similar to your children. God almost says that to Habakkuk. Don't be perplexed. Stop. Go on the wall where it's quiet. In the night watches when everything is silent, be silent before me. Then I can talk freely with you. But the Lord takes it a step further and he says, let all the earth keep silence before me. You know, I believe that there was something else going on here. I believe that the evil was crying out. What was being done, not only by the people of Judah and the people of Israel, but by the Gentile nations that were going to tear the people apart and carry them off somewhere else, all of that was crying out to God. And at one point, it cried up to him so loud that he ended it all and just had Noah and his wife and their three sons and their wives, and the eight made it through. And then he had some special instructions for them after that point. But God has said this in his word. But the Lord is in his holy temple. That's the part that we didn't emphasize. The Lord is in his holy temple. He is the one that's in control of the whole process. So when it comes to perplexity and the problem with my mind and what's happening around me and what I see happening in the country of Canada today brings me a great deal of concern. Like, it hurts. I know that I can't fix it. Only God can. Habakkuk needed to understand that only God could fix the problem with Judah. Now, there was a coming Messiah, but that was a long way off. But there was going to be some things along the way that taught people lessons. So, first of all, Habakkuk grasped the idea that the just one shall live by faith. Right, God, thank you for the reminder. I need to have faith in you. When you have perplexity, when things are disturbing you about what's going on around you, you need to have faith in what God's plan is all about. What does he say his plan is all about? It's in here. The plan of God is in the book. What's the ultimate plan? He's going to have his son who reigns. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to call up those who know him as their personal savior in what we call the rapture. We were working at the building the other day, and a young lady that was there helping us, she's a real worker. It's really something else to see this young gal up there using a hammer, power hammer, and attaching 2x4s and all kinds of stuff. She's been there off and on all through the whole process, and we just love her to bits. So I looked up at her and I said, Heidi! And she said, yes. I says, you're going to have to come down. She was up on the scissor lift up there working on soprano. I said, so she said, why? I says, well, if God calls us in the rapture, you're going to beat me. And so we had quite a little chuckle over that. But we were working together for something that God has planned. And I know he's planned our building because he's been in every step. But there have been things that came along on that project that have us scratching our heads totally. But we need to have faith in what God has planned and in what he is doing. His plan will come to completion. There was an old song written that said, I've read the back of the book and we win. That was a Southern gospel song. I don't know if you ever heard about that. When you finally get to the end of the book, we win. We're with the Heavenly Father. We're in heaven. Habakkuk said, wait a minute. I get it. I'm supposed to live by faith. My faith is supposed to be dependent on God. And then God tells him, But the Lord is in his holy temple. And he thinks, my concentration all this time has been on the wrong thing. I've been looking down from my wall and seeing the evil around me and forgetting that the holy God is above me. That the holy God is in control. That the God of the universe, who is speaking through me and telling me to write down a vision, is the one who is in control. That's where my faith needs to be. So that's what Habakkuk is now going through the stages of. And he works through perplexity and the answers that God gives him to peace. Now, how do I know that it's peace? Chapter 3, a prayer of Habakkuk. That's the way it starts in verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Shigionoth. Wow. First of all, when you go back to the front of it book, he says, I have a question. And God gives him an answer. I have another question. And God gives him an answer. But how does chapter 3 start? A prayer. Ah, what's involved in prayer? Praise, adoration, glory, exaltation of the God who is in his holy temple. So now let's just take a look at some of the words that are there. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Wow, this is a wonderful prayer. God, come from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. Oh, he's looking, he's asking for God to come from the temple to rule. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light, and he had rays flashing from his hands, and there was power. There was power hidden. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed after him. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. There was a character in the book of Genesis. His name was Abraham. And over his whole life, he finally came to a conclusion in his life. And it was to build an altar to the, and this is the way it's translated in scripture from the original language. I had to look it up. It was an altar to the everlasting God of everlasting things. Abraham grew in his faith to the point where he recognized that he was dealing with an everlasting God of everlasting things. And guess what Habakkuk found out? I'm dealing with a God who is everlasting and is over everlasting things. Ah, what's tremendous. What should be noted, by the way, is chapter 3, if you go back to any of your help books, commentaries, thank you. That's my lovely wife. She fills in the blanks for me all the time when I have some timers. The commentaries. If you go to a commentary, you will find out that this chapter was written as a song. The prayer of Habakkuk was to be sung. So it's for us to sing to the Lord. If it's a song, it was for his people to sing to the Lord. I'm one of God's people because I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. So I can sing this prayer. Some of the things are a little hard to sing when you hear about pestilence and fever. But that's not the point. Get the whole gist of the prayer. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, in verse 7 we read. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. O Lord, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea? That you rode on your horse, your chariot of salvation? Your bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows. You divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows they went, at the shining of your glittering spear. You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from the foundation to the neck. You thrust through with his own arrows the heads of his villages. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones. And I'm going to go back to that. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. And the hymn continues as a hymn of faith now. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the oil may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet, listen to this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on the high hills. And this was written to the chief musician with the stringed instruments. The praise that's following gives an incredible change of view and heart when you get down to the end. He saw all of the stuff. Now I can recount, Lord. I can see. I notice all this stuff that's gone wrong. I notice everything that's not right. I notice everything that is even wrong with me. There's rottenness in my bones. Why would he say there's rottenness in my bones? Because he remembered he's a sinful man. But then when it comes to faith, and he talks about his salvation, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. In the first part of the book, God says, well, whoever reads this message is going to run. They're going to need to run, because when it happens, it's going to be a desolation. Here, he's been given feet like deer, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Totally different situation here. You know how they talk about mountaintop experiences and valley problems? Habakkuk is going from a valley to a mountain experience. All because his focus changes. He got his eyes from what he was seeing from the wall, and the sadness of heart because of what he was facing with the people of Judah, and knowing that their sin was very depraved and what they were doing in following other gods. But when his eyes turned upward, as he recognized God, it changed his attitude of heart and his whole demeanor. It gave him peace and it gave him joy. Those are the two things that God says are fruit of the Spirit, the things that are going to happen. So when we take a look at what is involved here, we can compare this as well to a man named David. I think you all know who David is, right? David was a man after God's own heart, and he had the same problem. I'm going to read you two verses. I'm not going to have you turn to it. He was thinking over what was happening with all the rich and all of the evil people in the world and how they lived great lives and how they had all kind of abundance of things and everything else. And then it comes to these verses. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. You see, David had perplexity in his life. Man, if David could have perplexity in his life, a servant of God, a man after God's own heart, written as by God, and if Habakkuk, a prophet of God, could have perplexity in his heart, I guess I could too. And we all do. But here, in the end of his prayer, we have this wonderful counsel. So I'm going to end early, I hope. And I'm going to tell you a number of things that he does. In verses 1 and 2, he makes a petition for God's mercy. Right in the very end of verse 2, in the midst of the years, make it known, in wrath, remember mercy. He was asking God, oh, please, God, be merciful in this situation because these are the people of your love. In verses 3 to 15, he praises God. There's a petition, and then there's praise for God's power. And you can see that he's showing what God's power is like. And there his power was hidden. It was hidden within himself, but he manifested it because pestilence went before him and a fever went after him. People who looked at God, gone immediately because they couldn't look into the face of the one who was all-powerful and not only that, but all-pure. In verses 16 to 19 of the same chapter, when I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. Excuse me. He will invade with his troops, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be in the vines, and he goes through all of the negative things. All the way down to verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And there is the promise of God's sufficiency. So we have the prayer from the prophet, and he talks or makes the petition for God's mercy. He offers praise for God's power. He thanks God for the promise of his sufficiency. And then he puts it all in this wonderful song so that we can remember that God is an all-sufficient God. He can meet every need that we have. Am I disquieted? Yes, by the events of the day. Am I distracted by the things of the riches around me? Boy, is it tempting. The 649 is $50 million this week. What would I do with $50 million? You know what? The scripture tells me that the man's riches are like arrows piercing through his body. I'm thinking, oh man, I don't think I need that. I got enough pain now. Bad knees, bad feet, bad back, bad neck. When it comes to what the rich people have, am I disquieted about that? Am I disturbed that God isn't judging people? I shouldn't be. I should be happy that God gives me joy for my salvation and peace in my heart. It's the God of peace that will care for our heart. Am I like Habakkuk or Habakkuk that will sit in the quiet place and listen and wait for the voice of God? In Psalms, where is it? What's it? I wrote it down here. Psalm 46:10 is my wife's favorite verse. And the verse says, "Be still and know." Yeah, you got it, that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Well, what's the value in that verse? Okay, I can stop and I can realize that you are God. Well, if you do realize that he is God, then you must realize all the things that go along with his character. Who he is, what he can do, and what he can bring. And that, my friends, is where our peace really comes from. Our peace comes from the God of peace, who will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's what we have to rely on. When it comes to the perplexing times, God guards our mind. And that's what Habakkuk taught me. As he ends his wonderful prayer and says, "The Lord God is my strength, and he makes me walk on the top of the mountain." And that's him. That's our God. And that's what he can do for us. Let's close in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you for your kindness and goodness, for your wonder, for your amazement. Father, you have said, "Before you ask, I will answer." Oh, Father, when we think of the gravity of that, it stops our heart from beating for a moment, knowing that you have such intimate care for each of us that you would start the process off before we can even think about it. Father, thank you for caring for us so much, for guarding our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, for giving us love and peace and joy. May that be the hallmark of our lives before others, so that they may see that we have a heart and a mind of peace, and it may impact them and ask and cause them to ask you for that same peace. So Father, commit us to your care now, and we thank you for the opportunity that we've had to enjoy time together. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for the opportunity to share with you today.